Hi there. Welcome to the Agency Toolkit Podcast, a podcast where we discuss stories, strategies, and techniques to help you build a successful and profitable digital marketing agency. Our episodes contain inspiring conversations with CEOs and entrepreneurs and leave you with actionable tips, ideas, and strategies you can implement into your business today. We are happy to have you with us. So grab a cup of coffee, sit back, and get inspired.
Hello, and thank you for tuning in to another episode of the Agency Toolkit Podcast. I'm your host, Julia McLaughlin, and I have Ryan Hayes here with me today. And Ryan is the founder of Sparrow Digital, which is a digital marketing agency focused on performance marketing. So really excited to have you here with us today, Ryan. We're going to be chatting a little bit about, you know, your story of starting your agency, some challenges that you've had to overcome along the way, and how you continue to grow Sparrow Digital. So thank you for joining me.
My pleasure.
So to get started, I'd love to know what really motivates or inspires you as an agency owner.
I think that's a really important aspect in this business is that, there are a lot of challenges. You can get really, or at least myself, you can get very kind of bogged down in trying to manage all of the different things that entail running an agency. So certainly staying motivated and finding the energy to kind of do that every day is something that I think is really an important part of the job. So for me, it's really trying to find things that keep me interested in the business. And one of the reasons why I do like this business is that it's always evolving. So I think for me personally, one of my interests is really based on kind of learning and growing. And that's what I like about the digital space is that you're not doing the same thing every day. Even if you're working with clients, which is a great thing over a long period of time, you know that that relationship is going to evolve as new tools come out, as changes to algorithms happen, just changes in the marketing landscape in general. So for me, it's the idea that there's always an opportunity to learn something new on any given day. And that's, I would say, the primary motivating factor of, you know, enjoying the work that I do.
Awesome. Yeah, it's so true. There's so many different elements to digital marketing now that it's always going to keep you on your toes. And if you're one of those people that just loves constantly growing and evolving as a professional and as an entrepreneur, it's such a great field to be in. So tell us about your story of starting Sparrow Digital. I'm really curious to know, why you got into digital marketing and then what prompted you to start an agency.
Sure. So started off after school, ended up in working for a couple of different businesses, mostly in the marketing or management capacity. And it was really through two other friends about 15 years ago, we started our first business together. And it was based, this was kind of like really early days in digital marketing. So it was based more on programming and website development. So two good friends of mine were coders, and that was more their passion with building websites. And so my component of the business was really more on the management side. So that's where I learned kind of, it's the same, you know, same structure as a digital agency in the sense that you're working with different clients, it's project-based, you're in the digital space. So I did that for a number of years. And then over time, that's, you know, where really the growth in the digital platforms, you know, that was the time period with Google Ads continuing to grow in terms of prominence, you know, social media platforms launching their ad platforms. And it interested me. So there was kind of a natural growth in bringing that into that previous business. It just made sense. We were making websites for clients, and, more and more the request from clients was, okay, now what do I do with my site? How can I tangibly see this, add value to our business? So that was my interest. And so I really kind of grew that that component of the business. And after a number of years, we just got to a point where we were kind of as owners going in different directions, having different interests. So I sold my shares of that business and decided to start like more of a business focused really more purely on the marketing side, or let's say at least leading with the marketing side. Because nevertheless, I mean, we still end up doing web work. We still end up, whether it's creating landing pages or even, you know, even small websites, it's kind of a necessary component of a lot of digital marketing campaigns. So we still do that, but I'd say we kind of flipped the focus. And so that was my motivation. And since the creation of the business, it's really been driving growth, you know, client acquisition with really the focus on the marketing side.
Interesting. Okay. And then, so when you were first starting out in business, so I guess, you know, like with your partners, how did you bring in those first few clients? Because I'm really curious to know, you know, what that evolution has been like for how you've continued to grow in the agency and bring in leads steadily over the years.
Yeah, well, I think we were really fortunate. In the early days, one of the reasons why we did start the business was we had some pre-existing connections, let's say. So through one of our partners, his father had been in business his whole life, and he worked, our primary niche at that time when we started was hotel businesses. And so we had a connection to a marketing agency in New York City that did marketing specifically for the hotel industry. But they weren't web focused. They were trying to make that shift as well. This was like, let's say 2006, 2007 when we started out. And so our initial like base of client business, client work came through this agency in New York that would basically feed us hotels that needed websites. So it really allowed us to have that baseline revenue. And it was essentially recurring revenue because we were always doing updates for these websites. There were new ones coming in. So it really allowed us to kind of stabilize and know that there was work there. Mm-hmm. And then from there, I would say it's been my experience through both versions of the businesses. It's really referral. I would say it's 80%, maybe a little bit less now, but a huge portion of how we grew is, you know, you do good work. You make sure your clients are happy, and they're going to refer you. I mean, that's been our experience. So really, I would say just through that, I've always been able to grow. And over time, we've put a little bit more energy in trying to be found organically. So we certainly get some, we get leads organically, you know, I don't want to say every day, but, you know, pretty regularly an email will come in or the phone will ring and it will be someone who's found us on Google or what have you. But I would say it's those two things. And then finally, kind of same thing as referral, but really strategic partnerships. So, you know, whether it's working with, let's say a branding agency that's really more focused on, let's say, visual identity or other things that are that are in the marketing sphere, just you know, establishing good relationships with other businesses like that. You know, we send referrals both ways. So I would say that between those three, that's got to make up over 90% of our client acquisition.
Interesting. So do you ever, you know, actively pursue, you know, working with businesses that maybe haven't reached out to you guys, or is it, you know, pretty much the leads just come to you through, you know, referrals or your partnerships?
Yeah, I've never been like particularly active in trying to acquire customers who haven't contacted us first. I would say there's a, that's something that I've thought about, but, you know, good problem, honestly, is we have, you know, steady business coming in. And I think what the key is, and one of the reasons why I kind of pivoted more to this business model on the marketing side is, in general, with most of our clients, you know, it's recurring revenue, it's working on retainers or recurring monthly fees. So I think what's more important, what's been more important for our growth is making is client retention. Like if you have client retention and you have some sort of, you know, natural leads coming in through the, you know, what I just discussed, I think it's more important to focus on the retention side of the business, because then it's going to kind of grow organically, and is growing organically in a sustainable way. Because if you're focused too much on, at least in my experience, too much in client acquisition, but you're not taking care of, you know, the business that you're acquiring, it's unsustainable, and it's also not a really it's not a really fun place to be, where you're constantly like churning business. So really, really try to avoid that.
Yeah, of course. I agree 100%. And, you know, if there's anyone listening who's, you know, interested in forming those strategic partnerships, what do you look for in an agency that you want to, you know, discuss having that, you know, referral system where you're sending referrals back and forth? How did you kind of, you know, open that discussion?
Well, I think the first thing is you got to be clear on like what you do and what you don't do, because you're not going to refer business to someone if it's something that you maybe can supply internally. So really knowing, for example, are you trying to be a one-stop shop, complete full service, where you know, design the logo, make the website, develop the brand messaging, set up the, you know, ad accounts, create the newsletter, you know, do you want to do everything, or do you have a particular focus? And I think that's really important to know what you do and what you don't do first. Mm-hmm. And then once you've established that, then you'll know that there's certain certain services that would be complementary to your client that you don't offer. So I think that's like the number one step, is knowing the answer to that question. From there, personally for us, we've never done it in a formal contractual way, or I shouldn't say that. Maybe that's come up a few times with some other partners who have asked us to do that, and we have. But generally, it's more of a natural thing. It's more that we've come into contact with, let's say, a really good branding company through another client. Let's say a client has hired us to do some marketing work, and they say, here's our branding company. If you need anything in terms of, you know, brand identity, you're going to deal with them. So those would be instances where we kind of come into contact, as opposed to us, you know, searching out potential partners. And again, I would go back to the same thing. It's creating good work, having a good relationship with that, you know, that third party. And from there, it just becomes kind of a natural thing. Either we come across someone who needs some branding work and we'll just send it their way. We'll ask them, you know, you're taking on new clients. We have someone we think, you know, could use your services. We saw you did great work on the last project we worked on together, for example. Yeah. And we find just organically like that, work is going to come back to you the same way. So it's always been really just a process of creating good working relationships with people and seeing that kind of naturally evolve.
Yeah, it's such a, I think it's an important discussion to have, because digital marketing is made up of so many services now. And it's so hard to be able to, you know, be a master of all of them. So having those strategic partnerships that you can be partnering with to offer, you know, all these different services to your clients is, I think, coming increasingly more important. Awesome. So I'd love to know, you know, what is the key to maintaining happy clients so that, you know, they're going to continue to bring in those referrals for you?
Well, I kind of have boiled it down in my mind to two key things. One is do decent work. Right? You have to just, you have to, you know, not under deliver. So I don't think that you need to be the best at what you do. I mean, obviously that can be nice, but you don't have to set the bar too high. It's about setting the bar at a reasonable place. And it's more about, can you meet your own expectations that you've set? So I think just delivering to like a decent degree where you're providing the service that you said you were going to provide, basically doing what you said you were going to do, is like a fundamental requirement. And it seems really basic, but the reality is that a lot of people, a lot of agencies don't do that. So I think that that's number one. Number two, what I've also found, I think, to be something that's really helped us retain clients, I think you have to be somewhat personable. You have to be enjoyable to work with. I think at the end of the day, a lot of our clients don't really know exactly what we're doing. That's why they hired us. It's not their expertise. They're running their business. They've hired us to do something that they know they need in some way, but they really don't know all the details, and they probably frankly don't even want to know all the details, most of them. What they do, what you will have, is you're going to have a relationship with them. And I think that the key is to have a friendly, comfortable, good working relationship with clients. So basically deliver on what you say you're going to do, and have an environment where you enjoy talking to the client. The client enjoys talking to you. There's just a good feeling. And I think if you do those two things, you're, you know, 90% there.
Yeah. Okay. Awesome. And then I'm curious how reporting comes into the mix, because I feel like that's a really important part of keeping clients happy along the way, as well as ensuring that they are, you know, fully aware of what you guys are doing. You're updating them so that there's no confusion along the way. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, you know, I think it depends. We have a really robust reporting platform, and it's definitely something that I think helps us in our pitches. It's something that we're really able to demonstrate to say, if you want visibility, then working with us is going to be a great fit for you, because we give you everything at your fingertips. It's something that we really lean on when we're doing our pitches, when we're explaining, because what I think comes up often in a pitch or in winning a contract is why work with you versus someone else. You know, we get that question a lot. And you know, I mean, Google Ads is the same for everybody. You know, a lot of these platforms, there's not that much magic sauce. It's more about, again, just having a good strategy, doing what you say you're going to do. So I think one of the differentiators for us is definitely showing the reporting capabilities that we have. Mm-hmm. On the flip side, I would say that because in our reporting tools, we can see how often clients actually look at them. You know, it's really a mixed bag. Some clients do actually look at the reports, and others, you know, amazingly never seem to look at it. So, you know, it's more about the client, more about what they want. I think what's really important is that you make sure that it's available to them. But don't be surprised if they, in fact, rarely, if ever, look at it.
Right. And is it ever an issue with, you know, the client, because it's super common that clients, you know, don't always look at those reports. It's very common. So is it ever something where you can kind of see that pattern that they're not really looking at their reports, and then you just kind of proactively reach out to them and just like, you know, shoot them an email and kind of get them up to speed? Or maybe they are showing frustration as a result of not looking at those reports. Is that ever like an issue that comes up, or not really?
Honestly, not really. I think that the key is, if you are doing what you said you were going to do, if you're delivering on the campaign goals that you set when you started the working relationship, when you started the contract. If you're doing what you said you were going to do, if you're providing them access to that information, in our experience, some clients just want more of that connection. They want more visibility. They want to talk once every 2 weeks, whatever it is. Others don't. And from our experience, that's not really an indicator of, client happiness. I think some clients are very happy to know, because they trust us, that it's being done. It's a cost that they've calculated into their budget. They've committed to saying, yes, this is something that is part of running our business. And they're just happy to know that we're there taking care of it.
Okay, awesome. And I'd love to know, what's one big challenge that you've had to overcome along the way? And how have you overcome that challenge?
I think the biggest challenge is always the stress of just managing so many different things. Like when you're running an agency, you're constantly acquiring new clients, whether it's once a week, once every 2 months, whatever it is. Like if you are surviving and growing and it's a sustainable business, it's kind of, you're inevitably growing, which is good, but it means that you're managing, going back to what I said about making sure that the client, knows you're there, enjoys chatting with you. Well, that just grows and grows and grows, and you're having to manage so many different relationships, one, and then of course under that relationship is all the work that needs to be delivered. So I think from my experience, it's just really like staying organized, staying sane, not getting overwhelmed when you will inevitably have bottlenecks in your workflow. There'll be days where there's just more things popped up that could fit into the schedule. So I think it's just about having like a long-term view and sticking to what I described as the two things that like keep the business going. It's just like continue to deliver in like a meaningful way, and maintain a calmness and a positive relationship with your clients. So I would say that's the biggest thing. It's just holding everything together, which is always a challenge. So have I overcome that challenge? I think we're always working on it. I think we're always getting better. I think it's the most important thing for us internally as a business to grow and to stay profitable and all those important things. So it's something that we work on all the time, but I don't think it's ever something that will be totally solved. It will always be a work in progress.
Yeah. And do you have any tips for, any, just things you've learned along the way for how to be more efficient or, profitable, that you think would be a helpful tip for any other up and coming agency owners?
I mean, certain things that we've really tried to instill in our kind of workflow management is like get things prioritized and into the production flow as soon as possible. I think like a mistake that will sometimes come up is, not to say that you forget about a project, but you say, okay, I'll get that rolling next week. Like I'll get to that and get that into our system as soon as I have a chance. But that's often a mistake in our experience, because what happens is that, you're just delaying on kind of getting the most important things done, which is basically kind of piecing out the different components of a project and making sure they get into the workflow, making sure that the people who have capacity to work have that project to work on. So I think one thing is just to be really proactive when work comes in. Don't sit on it. That would be one thing. In addition to that, of course, there's different tools. Just setting up your whole ecosystem and figuring out what's going to be the right tools and the right like visibility that works for you as a manager. I don't think, again, that there's there's one right way versus one wrong way, but just kind of knowing how you like to work and making sure that everything is really systematized, organized. You've got to use calendars. You've got to make sure that you have the capacity to do the work. It's really just an exercise, honestly, every day of making sure that you're not dropping too many balls.
Right. Okay. Yeah, those are two really, really great tips. So where do you see Sparrow Digital in 5 years' time? You know, what are your goals with the agency?
Well, one of the things that I thought of when building this kind of iteration of an agency is my goal wasn't necessarily like pure client growth or number of client growth. My goal is not to create, a business with 200 people at desks and thousands of clients. Honestly, going back to what I just described being the biggest challenge, for me, just for my personal well-being, like my goal is not to have an empire of clients and work to do. I don't think that will not give me like the greatest life satisfaction. So for me, it's really all about like finding how do you maximize the value of a particular client, and how do you create, how do you basically grow the billing of individual clients without feeling like you need to acquire clients in order to pay the bills. So I've really tried to avoid the strategy or mindset of we have to go find a new client to grow the business. I'm much more focused on trying to create long-lasting relationships with clients and build with them. So trying to grow internally, not internally, but kind of really growing with the businesses we already work with, where we've already established that trust, where we know the business well, we know that their business has growth potential. So we're not trying to sign, a startup that's hoping that Facebook ads are going to make their business work. We try to avoid that type of stuff because inevitably the client onboarding is a big process. It's a major time suck, and it takes us away from making sure that our existing clients that have been paying us monthly for, year after year, we want to make sure that they're getting the best attention possible. So I would say like 5 years out, it's more about continuing to grow with our clients and getting to the point where we can become even more selective with taking on new clients, to be able to evaluate a client and say, is this a type of client that's going to more fit into our existing workflow? And is it a client that we think that if we sign next month, we're going to be working with 2 years from now? And if the answer to that is probably not, this might be a one-off project or we're not sure. Those are clients that we will, I'm aiming to avoid even more firmly going forward.
Yeah, I love that you guys are your goal is to, as your clients grow with them. Because, naturally as they evolve and their businesses grow, their marketing needs are going to change and their marketing budget's going to expand. So it's a natural fit there. So yeah, very, very exciting 5-year goals to work towards.
For sure.
Awesome. Yeah. So we are now ready to move on to the fast five. So I have 5 rapid fire questions for you now. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
All right. So what's a book you've read that's made an impact on you?
So it's actually a book I'm reading right now. It's called Aristotle's Way by Edith Hall. And it's it's a book about looking back to ancient philosophy to find the right way to structure your life. Very interesting.
Very interesting. That sounds like an awesome read. And what does your morning routine look like?
So I'm definitely more of a morning person. So I like to start early. Morning routine is basically get up, get the children off to school, have a cup of coffee. And that's where I really do my initial kind of, it's half project management, half meditation, just making sure everything is okay and everything is going to be addressed for the day. It's really where I start my day by just making sure that the plan is in place. I know mm-hmm. what needs to be done. And then I can go on with whatever else the day has in store.
So when you say half meditation, half project management, you mean you start off with a meditation and then you sort of organize your day, or?
No, I would say the organizing is like meditation. It's like if I don't do that, I feel like lost, and then you don't know
what's going on. Like the day takes over.
The day takes over, exactly. So it's a time where you just kind of look, focus, go through everything, make sure everything is like properly structured. And it's a very therapeutic way to start the day, as opposed to, you know, starting it with a client meeting and then next thing you know, it's lunchtime and you forgot about the seven other things that really needed to be addressed before the end of the day.
Yeah, that's a good way of looking at it. Cause you know, when you're organized and you take that time, you don't have the distractions and you could really properly plan out your day, you definitely feel like you're more in control.
That's key for me, for sure.
Awesome. And then is there a CEO that you follow or study?
Not really, but I would say going back to the book I'm reading, what I really, what I've really gotten into and kind of started with COVID and everything, definitely very much into ancient philosophy, Stoic principles. So I follow, they're not really developing anything new to say at this point, but I definitely spend a lot of time with whether it's Aristotle or Seneca or Marcus Aurelius. They're really thoughtful thinkers who help keep everything in perspective and help make sure that the agency is very important, but it's not the only thing to life. And having that balance is key for me.
That's really interesting. Yeah, it's a great suggestion. And then what is your favorite online tool?
There's so many. Right now, in the past 2 years, we've really migrated over to a new kind of project management platform, which we're really enjoying. It's called ClickUp. So okay. that's our kind of mission control. So I'm calling it my favorite just because it's where everything is. And I spend the most time kind of there getting insights on everything. So we use a whole bunch of different things, but I would say that's definitely becoming a favorite.
Perfect. And then last question, what's one thing you wish you had known when you began your career?
Yeah, that's a tricky one. What I wish I had known. I don't know. I think so much of what I enjoy in the business is kind of the figuring it out part. I don't think there's anything I could have known before that really would have changed anything. I'm happy with what I'm doing and mm-hmm. As I said earlier, part of what I do enjoy about it is that it's always different. So mm-hmm. I don't really think there's anything if I had known earlier would have changed anything, because this business is just, it is constantly changing. And that's what you're doing every day. So there's not really one principle that I think would have changed that reality in managing an agency.
Okay, fair enough. Well, Ryan, thank you so much for joining me for today's episode. It was a pleasure to learn about your journey of starting and growing Sparrow Digital. So thank you again for joining me for today's recording.
Thank you very much for having me.
Thanks for tuning in to this episode of the Agency Toolkit. We hope you've learned something new that you can implement into your agency today. If you liked this episode, please subscribe to our podcast, and we'll see you next time.